Appreciated the prayer of Eric this morning that you would hear from God today. Because truly, it's not about what I have to say, it's about what God confirms in your spirit. And I trust that this morning that as we've gathered, we've come prepared to hear from God. And we've just come through the Christmas season here, and you know, there's probably many things, different things that have stood out to different ones of you. As I was thinking about it this week, what stood out to me a bit was in the little rejoicing that Simeon did when he saw the baby Jesus being brought to the temple. And in his proclamation, one of the phrases that he used was he said he was describing Jesus as a light to lighten the Gentiles. And as I was meditating on that, you know, that is true. Jesus came, there had been silence from God for 400 years. Can you imagine that? There wasn't any word from the Lord through a prophet or anything like that for 400 years, you know, back to the 1600s. And now Jesus was on the scene. And the light had come, a light to lighten the Gentiles. But we know that Jesus was here for 30 couple years, and then he went back to heaven. So how are the Gentiles to be lit today? And so that brings me to the theme of the message this morning, committed to shine. And you can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be developing a few verses there in Ephesians chapter 5. But it has to do with the whole idea that as we are looking forward to 2015, I believe it's important for us to again renew our commitment to shine. Now, you're familiar with some of these verses in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world." And in Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says this. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Jumping down to verse 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Now I know this whole concept of our need to shine, there's nothing new about that. We've heard that all before. But I felt impressed that as we are entering into this new year, that unless we are intentional and take some time to think about what is involved in letting our light shine, and unless we are intentional about becoming quiet before God and saying, "God, where is the darkness that you want me to be impacting?" we won't do it very well. Unless we are intentional to take the time to think it through and meditate on it, we'll get caught up in all the other trappings of life, and days will go by, and we won't give a lot of thought to how am I supposed to be shining today. And so I really felt that the Lord wanted us to just take some time here this morning, and it probably will require a little discipline on your part to stay in touch with what is God wanting to say to you in all of this, because there's so much familiarity here. But I challenge you to do that. And I challenge you to leave this place this morning having sought the Lord for some new revelation or some clarifying thoughts as it would relate to what is involved for you in shining the light for Jesus. And where are the places and what are the activities that maybe you should consider as a result of the command to let our light so shine before men? There's really not any question that we live in a dark time. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. I think all of us, as we look at that list, we say, wow, does that ever describe our day? And we tend to see it out there, but sometimes it's helpful to realize that we were a part of this. And we need to realize that there may even be some of it still in our lives, but we are called to be something different. There in Ephesians 2:8, it says, you were once darkness. And it might be helpful for you to realize that the Bible doesn't say there, you were once in darkness. It says, you were darkness. In other words, you brought darkness into the lives of other people. You were like a surgeon or a dentist that would be operating with the lights out. Because as you walked in your sinful ways, you hurt people. You gave bad advice. You were untrustworthy. You were darkness. But praise God, that's not all that's in that sentence. It says, but you are now light in the Lord. You were darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. Are you connected to that? You are light. Now it's interesting, you know, Jesus said in John 8:12 that he is the light. In John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then in Matthew 5, it says, you are the light. It says, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a light stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which in heaven. So now, which is it? Is Jesus the light, or are you the light? Well, many of you know that they're both true. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the sun, and we are the moon. Jesus is the light, and he shines through us unto the world. We are intended to reflect the light of Christ. So just as we look at the moon and we say it is a light in the night, so are we a light in the darkness as we reflect the light of Jesus through our lives and off of our lives. And just an interesting little side thought here on the moon and the sun and the earth. The only time that the earth does not see the moon reflecting the light of the sun is when the world gets in the way. The only time you don't see the light of the sun reflecting off of the moon is when the earth comes between the sun and the moon, and the sun's light doesn't get to the moon. Now, there's a play on words there that I think many of you caught up with. The only time that the world around us does not see the light of Christ shining through us is when we allow the world to get in the way. The lusts of the flesh and all that is in the world gets in the way of our lives, and it blocks the life of Christ. So we are to be reflecting the light of Christ. Now, light is such a good illustration. It's a wonderful way the Holy Spirit has chosen to reveal what we're to be doing with Christ and how we're to be showing, to use light as the example, because we think of light as being white, and yet we know that light is not white. Light is the combination of many colors, and when they all come together, it gives white light. And in much the same way, the light of Christ, the light of God, has many different aspects to it. And it's up to us to be reflecting the various colors of God's light. And Ephesians 5:9 here, it gives for us some of the aspects of the light of God. It says that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And so as we think of God's light, it's helpful for us to think of some of the different aspects of the light of Christ that we are to be shining forth in our lives. The colors of God's light, some of them are reflected here in the Scripture. It says, first of all, goodness. Now, these are all sort of related. Goodness is the moral or relational excellence. In 1 Thessalonians 5:15, it says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. One of the characteristics of the light of Christ that we're to be reflecting is goodness, being a genuinely good person, having moral excellence and relational excellence, that we have that goal within us and have that recognition that that's what Christ wants to be doing through us and how He wants us to be impacting our world. Righteousness, that has to do with right living, living above board, having the same kind of conduct on a Monday or a Tuesday that we have on a Sunday. And then the third one is truth. You know, that we would have a life that is characterized by truth. As we relate to others, are we known as being truthful, or are we deceptive? Do we beat around the bush? Do we hide things? Are we truthful? And then as it relates to our relationship with God, are we truthful? Do we allow ourselves to be led by His truth? The Bible talks about His Word being the truth. In John 17:17, it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. And in Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him of whom we must give an account. So we're called to be people of the truth, to be people of His Word. Came across this quote that says, just as a glow-in-the-dark toy will shine more brightly the longer it's left in the light, so the more we put ourselves in the light of God's Word, the easier it will be for us to reflect the light to those who are spiritually dead. So as we reflect the light of God's light, it's goodness, righteousness, truth. And then in Galatians 5, it gives more characteristics of the light of God in the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, as you look at the light of Christ that He wants to be shining through us on the world, aren't they all beautiful things? Goodness, righteousness, truth, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Isn't that the kind of people you want to be around? Isn't that what the world needs? In the darkness that's all around us, it needs people that are reflecting the light of Christ. And I believe that as we look forward to 2015, we need to become recommitted again to the fact that this is who we are to be, and it's so, so different than the darkness that is around us. When you listen to the list of the darkness that is around, like in Ephesians 5, 3 and 4, where it says there, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let not even be named among you as fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. And in Galatians 5:19, where it talks about the works of the flesh, it says they're evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, evil, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the like. When you think of those two lists, you see the tremendous contrast between those lists. It's darkness and it's light, and we are called to be children of light. You You see, all of these beautiful things that we were looking at just a minute ago are what, or all of these things are really what represent the absence of light. You see, that is what that's the definition of darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. And as you look at this list, this is the list that happens when the light of Christ is not in play. This is the kind of results you get when the light of Christ is not being shined in and is not being understood by the people. Spiritual darkness is the absence of God's light. And the works of the flesh are what happen when God's light is not in play as an effort to somehow fill the hole that is intended to be filled by the light of Christ. And that's one of the reasons why it's important for us to be purveyors of the light of Christ. In addition to the whole business of eternity, is the natural benefits of having the light of Christ be what is in our lives and is also what we are putting upon the people that we're with. And so as children of light, we have a tremendous responsibility, and it comes in a couple of forms. First of all, as it says in Ephesians 11 and 12, it says the first thing as children of light is that we are to not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done in them in secret. It says, have no fellowship. Now the definition, according to Strong's definitions of this word, no fellowship, is to share in company with, in other words, to co-participate in. And notice in verse 12, it says that it's even a shame to even speak of the things that are done of them in secret. And I think we should just pause here a little bit to just, again, reconnect with this scripture. I'm afraid that in our culture, the culture that we live in, it's pretty easy to become desensitized to the darkness. You know how that when the lights go out immediately, it seems really black, and then we can sort of get used to the dark, and we can start to see around a bit. A desensitization to the dark. And I think that for us in this culture, there's a lot of things that try to desensitize us to the darkness that's around. Our newspapers are full of the devil's activities around the world. Have you ever thought about that? That basically every morning in the news, we read about what the devil's been up to for the last 24 hours. Unfortunately, darkness is the greater part of our entertainment today. Most of the TVs, programs, and the movies that are created today have to do with aspects of darkness. And we entertain ourselves with it. The Bible says, and the computers with the pornography that's available, the romance novels, the impurity and the infidelity. It's just all around us, we are being bombarded with darkness. And we can lose the sense of shame to what is going on in our culture. And I believe that, you know, I don't believe there's any other way to understand this scripture but it says we're to have no fellowship with it. And I believe allowing ourselves to be entertained by darkness is a direct violation of this scripture. Is there any other way to understand it? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 gives us a list of what should be the parameters of our thinking. It says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And I'm here to say to you today, if you're going to be an effective bearer of the life of Christ, you're going to have to honor this scripture and cut out the impact of the darkness on your life. it will affect you. So our responsibility, as it comes down to being children of light, is to recognizing the ways that the enemy is trying to distract you and cut that off at the knees. But then secondly, it gives us something to be proactive about. It says that we are to expose the darkness. So our responsibility is to expose the darkness. Now, how do you expose the darkness? Well, how do you get rid of darkness in the natural sense? You add light. And so if we're going to expose the darkness, we need to add the light so that the light becomes obvious and stands in contrast to the darkness of our world. So how do we expose the darkness? Well, we add light. And we add it in a number of different ways. One of the ways we add light is by our prayers. Notice what it says in Matthew 5:44, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." You know, there may be people that God is bringing to your mind right now that are walking in darkness, and they're people that you know, and you've been trying to think of, how can I impact them? What can I say? And maybe they're bitter against you. Maybe they won't even have anything to do with you anymore. And you feel sort of helpless, sort of hamstrung as to, what can I do to impact them? The Bible says you can impact them by your prayers. It says we are to pray for these people who are enemies, who use us despitefully. So how are we to be praying for them? Well, certainly not that God would get even with them for us and that kind of thing. We are to be praying for them in a way that reflects love and blessing. And I just encourage you to just turn back in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. If you still have your Bible open there at Ephesians 5, just go back a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 1, because I think there's a tremendous outline there for us, given to us in the way Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. Now, I realize it's a different situation. He was praying for a group of believers, but I believe that what he prayed for them is a great outline as to what we can pray for those people who are despitefully using us, for those people who are walking in darkness. We can pray these same things upon them, and in so doing, we can execute the light of Christ to come upon them. Listen to what it says. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. He's speaking in the first person, beginning at 15. "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heaven in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come." I believe we can pray these things upon those who are walking in darkness. Verse 17, we can pray that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that God would open up their understanding. We know that Satan can blind people's eyes, but we can come against that by praying God's wisdom upon them, God's understanding upon them, God's revelation upon them. I believe sometimes that we get too caught up in praying against the dark rather than praying the light in. You'll never get rid of the darkness by cursing it. When you come in here in the morning and the lights aren't on, you can stand here and you can fuss and fume and curse the darkness and it won't leave. But all you have to do is turn on the switch, execute the lights, and they come on. Execute the electricity to the lights and they come on. And the darkness flees. It flees because of the presence of the light. And I believe that sometimes part of our issue is that we focus on the darkness rather than focusing on the light that we need to be bringing upon people. And that as we pray for them and pray that God's light would come upon them, verse 18, that their understanding would be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of his calling, that people that are walking in darkness would come to understand what was God's purpose for them, that they would connect with the fact that they were created with purpose, that God has a plan for them. Then verse 19 and 20 and 21, talking about the power of God, that God would illuminate their eyes to understand his power and the power of Jesus, that somehow they would come to an understanding of the whole business of the power that was exercised in Christ, raising from the dead and taking authority over the devil. So prayer is one of the places, you know, it's reflected for us in the Lord's Prayer, where he says that we are to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the ways that we reflect the light of Christ is through our prayer life. So I encourage you today, those of you that maybe don't feel you have the gift of evangelism, maybe you find yourself to be shy, or you find yourself to be in a situation where it feels like you have no avenue to impact the darkness in another person's life or in a situation's life, you have the avenue of prayer. And I would just encourage you to open your heart to hear from the Lord. Is there a person in your arena who is in darkness, who needs a commitment from you to pray Ephesians 1, 16 through 21 upon them on a consistent basis, that the light of Christ would be turned on in their life and it would impact the darkness that is there? Well, then certainly what we've already covered is that we expose the darkness by our life. The Amplified Version of Ephesians 5:11 that we read earlier says, take no part and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness, but instead, let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. That by our lives, as we demonstrate goodness and righteousness and truth and love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and so on, that it so convicts and confronts the darkness by our lives. Philippians 2 speaks of this business of shining of lights, and it says there, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How would our children describe us? How are we about complaining or disputing? How would our spouse describe us? How would the people we work with describe us? It says here that we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and God's will for us is that we would shine as lights in the world. And it says, to do this, do all things without complaining or disputing. Do you have a critical spirit this morning? Is there something that really needs to be repented of? That you find yourself, I think one of the temptations of the devil and distractions of the devil is to try to cause us to see every negative thing that's possible to be seen and then to react to it. And I would encourage us to pray God's light into that. That we would go back to Philippians there, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there's ever any good, think on these things, that we would catch that when the devil tempts us. And if we have a critical spirit that we've given power to, that we would repent of that and be intentional about not allowing that critical spirit to thrive in our lives. And so again this morning, are there areas in our life where God would have us be more intentional of living a life that shines His light? And then thirdly, we expose the darkness by adding the light of our words. Number of scriptures here in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." I like the way it describes what we're to be doing, the convincing, rebuking, exhorting, but it says with long-suffering, that's with patience, and with teaching. And teaching is, a good description of how we are to be. We're not to be beating people, we're to be teaching. There's a posture in teaching that I think we should try to embrace as we are involved in letting the light shine by our words. Now, 1 Timothy 5:20, it says, "Those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest may also fear." So there comes a place, this is speaking specifically of leadership, if leadership is in a situation of sinfulness. But I believe it applies across the board that there is a place for rebuking people publicly so that others may learn. And again, that takes a special grace when you think of Ephesians 4:15, when it says that we are to be speaking the truth in love. And so I think we need to put all that together, that as we are letting the light of Christ shine through our words, that we are putting those scriptures together and making sure that what we are doing is truly shining the light of Christ, and it isn't coming from a place of wanting to straighten somebody out or trying to put somebody down or trying to somehow confront in a spirit of destroying them rather than a spirit of restoring them. But nevertheless, we are called to use our mouths. And for many of us, this is not easy for us. For many of us, it's very easy to keep our mouths shut. And the reason that is oftentimes the case is because it's not received very well many times. But that shouldn't really surprise us, because the Bible says in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." It shouldn't surprise us when we do take a stand against darkness that it isn't received well. But we need to be sure that the reason it isn't being deceived doesn't have to do with the way we're presenting the truth. That we are allowing the light of Christ to envelop the truth that we are presenting, and we're doing it out of love. And so again this morning, as we're looking toward 2015, is there a person in your life or my life that God wants us to step up and speak to? And if God brings somebody to your mind, then I think the next step is for you to pray for the grace to do it with the light of Christ just enveloping it. That doesn't mean it won't be intense. That don't mean it won't be assertive. But it does mean that the person will have to face the love that is coming with it. So for 2015, are you committed to shine? You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We have been called into the light. And we need to be committed to reflect it through our prayers, through our life, and through our words. May we be a people that are committed to let our light so shine before men that they will see the reflection of Jesus coming through us. And they won't glorify us, but they'll glorify God because of the work of God that they see demonstrated in our lives. May God help us to that end. Father, we recognize this morning that all of this is a work of your Spirit. That we can try to develop light in the flesh, but it won't have the consistency and it won't have the power that the light has that comes through you. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning we invite you to expose to us the ways that we are hindering your light from shining. And then in addition to that, that you would give us wisdom and grace to know how and where the specific areas are where we can grow in both how and when we reflect your light. So I thank you, Lord, for the way we stand before you as individuals. The way we have just no ability, no right to stand here and look at other people and judge them. But help us, Lord, to reflect on these things before you, and that you would continue to teach us. Through Christ I pray. Amen. I invite you to stand together as the chorister comes and leads us in a closing song.